All right, Proverbs, shall we? 27:6. This is maybe a different vein of things that we have talked about in here, but nonetheless, a very, very good one. 27:6. Somebody read that when you get there.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
Profuse, man, ESV, getting crazy on us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, mine says, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Seems like an odd proverb to be talking about wounds from a friend. Literally, the Hebrew says, trustworthy are the bruises caused by the wounding of one who loves. It's a mouthful. What's the idea there? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What is this likening a friend to, and specifically the opposite of that, of what an enemy does? Yeah, absolutely. So this is real words spoken that may be really hard to communicate, but if you have someone in your life that loves you enough to say, listen, this is how I see it. This is something I see in your life. This is an issue that, man, is a blind spot for you, and I love you enough to tell you about it. It's the enemy that says, oh, no, everything's great. You're fine. You don't have any issues, right? Your left armpit doesn't stink. You know, no. You're good. You don't need to wear deodorant. No. Yeah, right? So it's the true friend that has the ability to speak the truth in love. As you talk about like the 8, 9s, and 10s of friendship, these are hard places to get to. You know, I can count on one hand and still have fingers left over how many friends in my life have been that way to me, that love me enough to say, Mike, these are issues. This is what I see in your marriage, in your own life, and whatever, that'll communicate that in love. So something to be aware of in your life, okay? If you guys have friendships like this, cultivate them and develop them. These are the people that are going to stand with you in your wedding. They're the folks that you're going to call, you know, 15 years into marriage. They're the folks that are going to be around for the long haul. So just think through that. Let me give you a couple, maybe just, I don't know, guidelines, if you will, is if you're going to have hard conversations like this, because that really is the nature of a true good friendship. It's not all the time, but there are seasons where you need to be able to do this. You need to be able to do it in marriage. You need to be able to do it with friends. And just maybe how to do that. Just maybe a couple benchmarks for you, if you will. Number one, conversations like this that are wounding and difficult always need to be done in private. Okay, that may seem abundantly obvious, but these aren't public. These aren't, you know, for the ears of other folks. If you've got difficult things to communicate with another individual, do it in private. Okay, give them the benefit of the doubt. Have that conversation where they're going to have the opportunity to best respond and so on. Okay. Secondly, remember, restoration is always the goal. Okay. According to Galatians, we are trying to restore a brother or a sister that may have just, man, veered off path and taken a, you know, an off ramp they didn't mean to take, and they need to get back on the highway. So the goal is always to restore. So as you're approaching those situations, it's never an eye for an eye mentality per se, or I'm going to get a pound of flesh, or, you know, I'm angry about this situation and you hurt me in this process. It's always restoration. And that can be difficult with emotions. That can be difficult with hurt feelings or whatever may be the case. It happens frequently in those types of conversations. But remember, restoration is always the goal in that. Okay. Thirdly, be a part of the solution. Okay. There's always that fine line between what's gossip and what is seeking advice. Okay. My line in the sand for that is if there's someone that you need to get a second opinion from before you have a conversation that can directly help the situation, that's not gossip. Now, you don't need 10 of those people, okay? But you need sometimes to gather advice from people. Hey, you know this person. I feel like I need to have this conversation for this purpose. And I'm not telling you so that I don't have to have the conversation and I can vomit on you and then not have to talk to the person who's offended me or hurt me or they're self-destructive in their life, whatever it may be, but you're gathering insight. My wife had an issue come up with her group of friends. There was a gal that there was an issue that came up that was a concern. She wasn't sure if she was reading it correctly, so she asked another gal in the group and said, listen, you know her better than I know her. I see something, but I'm not sure if my perception is correct or not. Help me see what you see. And she said, no, you're wrong. Absolutely wrong. Love you, mean it. Thank you. And Michelle went, Good. I'm glad I didn't have that conversation. I wanted to make sure I gave her the benefit of the doubt, and as a result of that, I don't need to have that conversation. There are times that someone else will say, you know what? I've seen that too, and that concerns me. So that maybe gives you an in to do that, okay? So if you grab people that are part of the solution side, that's not gossip. If you're just barking at people, man, can you believe what Rachel did the other day, and blah, 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 you know, whatever, that's gossip, and that's not helpful to the situation, okay? So make sure you're always a part of the solution. Maybe a side note with that, when people come to you with that type of information, be very careful and remind them, if you're coming to me, I'm assuming that you're going to them, and I'm going to hold you accountable to go talk to that person. So don't think that I can just be a sounding board for your frustration and you can come vomit your issues on me and expect to walk away. Now I've got to deal with your garbage, okay? I promise you, you will get a lot fewer people going, if you say, no. You clearly have an issue with this person and I care about both of you. You need to restore that and I'm going to help that happen.
What if the person either doesn't have Lord or is just not walking forward?
There's times for that too. You got to hold them to a different standard. You know, I hang out with a lot of people through writing circles that don't know the Lord, and things that come out of their mouth, things that they say, things that they think are not things that would be appropriate for believers, but they're not believers. So if it's interpersonal stuff, then you've just got to decide, man, is that something that I should hold a non-Christian to? Is it just basic, like, life skills, respect for another human being, regardless of, you know, those are kind of where those lines are. So you just have to kind of keep that in mind, I guess, as you say it. And then someone that doesn't have the Spirit, the response needs to be viewed through that lens. Like, they may not have the repentance and the conviction and the, oh, man, dang it, you know, I blew that, my bad, you know. So just keep that in mind, okay? So, always be a part of the solution. And if you guys get those from other people, help them have those conversations. And those can be awkward, but say, man, you need to go do that. And I'm going to ask you in a week if you've done it. And if you haven't done it, I'm going to call that person and I'm going to set up the meeting for the three of us. And I'm going to say, hey, Joe, Sam came to me last week and had this issue. He needs to talk to you about it. And I wanted to be here to make sure it happened. And that's difficult and it's a pain, but that's how ultimately those need to go down. Okay, so if you value relationships to the degree that I think the scripture does, it can be hard and time consuming, but it needs to be done. Okay. Fourthly, always deal with the issue, not a person or their character. Okay, you don't want to attack a person. You do this. It's about an issue. Hey, you left your dishes out in the sink again. That's not like you. So that's inconsistent with who I know you to be and who you want to be. So let's talk about that and figure out how we can solution side that. So I ended up doing your dishes again last night, which, man, I love you, but man, we need to fix that. Okay. So there's a big difference between an issue and attacking a person and putting someone on the defensive and that sort of thing. Okay. In fifth, and my wife has taught me this better than I think anybody, ask questions. Okay. Questions always take people off the defensive. Help me understand language. Man, can you speak into this a little bit? Can you know, what do you think about that as opposed to finger pointing and attacking? You know, what happened here? Those types of things are just always help people feel like, man, I'm not being attacked, that sort of thing. Okay, so there's a couple of maybe just rules for the road, if you will, as you deal with these type of conversations. Yeah, Raven.
So what if their issue isn't like, it's an issue, but it's also an issue of their character or their personality?
I always try to assume the best with folks and assume that's not a character issue that they want. I'll tell you something Brad has done with me consistently. So because we've had a lot of these conversations because we've just got 20 years of history. He'll say, Mike, I see this, and that is inconsistent with who I know you to be. So he's saying, I trust your character, or I trust that you want your character to be better than this. So this issue seems like it doesn't fit with who I know you to be, and I know who you want to be. So it assumes the best in me, and I go, man, I don't argue with that, right? He's telling me he believes in me, trusts my character, and yet he sees an issue and says, those two don't fit. So I know you wouldn't want that, and maybe you just don't see that. So now I'm kind of forced to, you know, eat some humble pie and go, huh, okay, yeah, right. So often those are tied to character issues, but you try to believe the best in people and say, and maybe you're helping them see that by saying, that seems inconsistent with this. and I know you better than that, or whatever it may be. So, and again, the depth of those conversations will depend on the depth of the relationship. Brad can say things to me that other people can't say, and if they do, I really don't care, because they don't know me, right? But I have certain friends that can speak into that. We go, man, if you're saying that, you see something, and I need to hear that. So kind of keep that. So make sure you're not coming after people with a machete, you know, unwarranted. You know, you got to have the relationship there to go certain places, right? So, and again, for us, the higher call, and there's another proverb that kind of talks about this idea, but the higher call is, man, if we can blow something off, like when we're offended, if we can blow it off, right? That's, you don't want to be having like these conversations constantly, you're blowing people up. Man, if someone said something about you and or whatever, and it was unintentional, and you can say, you know what, like water off a duck's back, whatever, no big deal, right? It, you blow it off, you have thick skin. But there's certain points where in a conversation or something's happened where you need to enter in, okay? So it's a good thing, okay? And remember, friends that don't have these conversations, that's Judas, right? That's kissing Jesus and saying, no, it's all good. Now, come here and arrest him and give me my money. So that's ultimately not what we want in a deep, godly friendship, okay? And that obviously carries over into marriage as well. Those are part and parcel to the marriage world. So, something to think about. All right? Thoughts on that as we go back into Deuteronomy.
So, if you have a friend who isn't really a believer and they're constantly coming to you with gossip, how do you make that stop? And, like, should you? Because I feel like there's a line between I want to be a friend who is able to listen to her and, like, you know, be there for her.
That's a harder one because her standard isn't your standard, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's a great example of where you're going to hold a Christian to a different standard than maybe that friend. Maybe you listen and maybe you can guide a little bit with speaking to some of that stuff, you know, in a way that isn't, you shouldn't do that or you shouldn't be coming to me with this. But, like, man, in those situations, I'd really love the benefit of the doubt. I'd appreciate when people come to me or, you know, whatever. So, I don't know. So, yeah, I think that's a great example of, I go, they're not Christians. They're not going to have that conviction.
So it's not necessarily wrong for me to be listening to what I would consider to be gossip?
I think in that situation, if the end goal is trying to befriend somebody, show them your life so that ultimately the gospel is going to come out and you know, I don't think so. I think that's just part of being around non-Christians, right? There's a lot of activity that I don't prefer to be around that happens around non-Christians. And I have to have a certain, like, there's a place that I don't need to go either. But no, for the sake of that relationship, I'm not going to blow something up over something small so that I can get to something that's the much deeper issue. The much deeper issue isn't their gossip, it's that they need Christ, right? So I don't want to behavior modify them either. That's one of the worst things you can do. You should just stop doing this and start doing that. It's like, no, keep doing that. You should love Jesus. And then that stuff is going to work itself out. So in that situation, I'd say no. Maybe help them or guide them or, you know, help them see a higher view of friendship or how you would handle those things or in a way that isn't like, well, I, because I'm better than you, would do it, like, you know. But that's a hard one. So, yeah.
Just as a new example, like, especially to question, you know, number 5 in yesterday's proverb, that, like, asking questions, especially if it's out of character for somebody instead of just accusing. I had a situation once, I was working with Walmart, and they know I have high integrity. In Walmart, you're not allowed to check out your own family. And so the managers called me aside one time, and they're like, we need to fire you because you checked out, you know, John Otto, and you know that's not, I'm like, back up. Like, he very well may be related to my dad, but I don't know my dad's family. So he's nobody to me. So why would you just, you know, jump on me and
give me
say,
the benefit of the doubt. Let's have a conversation.
Like, you know, that I am a person of high integrity, so why would you not ask? You know John Otto?
Yeah.
You see that they went through your life.
Yeah.
So just, and that taught me, if I remember in a management position, you know, ask questions first. Don't just go full force in that you did this,
Yep.
I still remember it.
Yeah.
I was offended.
Man, it's hard, but putting yourself in that situation and thinking, how would I want that to occur to me? And you were in that situation, right? How would I want that handled? It speaks a lot, you know? So giving people the benefit of the doubt is usually, until you for sure know that is always a good strategy, right? So that's what we would want in those situations, is to be able to speak to, can I defend my character, please? Right? That's kind of important to me. So no idea who that guy is. Thanks for coming to me. I know, you know, my bad. I won't do it again. But, dude, that's just some dude with the same last name as me. And past that, I, you know, so.
I realize it's a unique thing. But I wasn't offended that they had to ask, because it is the rules.
Yeah.
But I was offended at how they approached it.
Right.
Like, if they would have just pulled me aside, hey, do you know this person? Because we saw that they went through your line.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not going to change the standard, but I'm going to assume the best that, yeah, you probably didn't mean to do that, right? And that's the, I'm assuming the best in your character. This is inconsistent with who you are. So I'm sure you have a great explanation as to why that happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, you do. Fantastic. And if they don't, then you go, huh, that's not like you. Let's fix that, right? And okay, so cool. Relationships are messy and they take time. And that's the hard part about stuff, specifically this. I came from, when I told you guys yesterday, a church in Dallas, one of the great experiences that I had there was that they valued conflict in a way that, you know, like young kids spell love, T-I-M-E. That's how they, you know, you have to invest time. Conflict takes time and it can be exhausting. And the elders and the staff were just willing to dive into mess after mess and do what it took to restore marriages and relationships and conflict. And that was just a value. And it was cool to see how it got fleshed out, but boy, it was exhausting. So, and for those of you guys that are going to the pastorate, you'll jump into a lot of those, and they're exhausting as well, but worth having those conversations. So, cool.